A critical vulnerability was found on the IP address validation libraries on both Node.js and Python. This one is very interesting, and this is something I didn't know about, to be honest. This is the way you validate IP addresses. It's not easy, because there's apparently more than one way to represent the same IP address. Who knew? How about we jump into it and discuss? Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And guys, an IP address, this 4-byte representation. Usually, how do we present it? We present it like it's a decimal point dot decimal dot decimal dot decimal. So maximum IP address is 255.255.255.255. And lowest one is 0000. Because it's like it's a 4-byte, right? 1 byte is 0 to 255 decimal. So now, if you think about it, how do you parse this? Well, you can say, hey, this has to be a decimal. If you send me a string that's supposed to be an IP address to validate it, I just check if this is a decimal, right? Apparently, that's not the only way. Let me show you. Let's go. This is what we're going to discuss. This is really, really, really critical. But let's go to Chrome here. And let me type in this. I'm going to type in 0177.0.0.1. Look at that. I passed in 0177, which if I would have received that, I would think this is the IP address 177.0.0.1. But look what Chrome, in this case, Brave, parse this as 127.001, which is the loopback. So, apparently there is another format where you can represent IP addresses, and that's called octal, which is base 8. So numbers from 0 to 8, to 7 to be specific, 0 to 7, and you can specify that. And as long as the first leading 0 is 0, these 4 digits, the parser will treat this as an octal and will convert it to a decimal in this case, right? So 7 in this case, 7 times 8 to the power 0, which is 1, 7 plus the second 7, 7 times 8 to the power 2, which is 16, and then plus 1 times 8 to the power 2, which is 16, and then sum the whole thing and you end up with 127, which is the loopback. So you might say, Hussein, what's the point of this? What are you getting at? This is the bug actually with Python and Netmask in Node.js. So if you have built a Node.js app that accepts some sort of a URL from the client, there's many use cases for that. Like, let's say you want to have a custom authentication service like OAuth, and you want the user to supply their OAuth service, right? So in this way, they have to send you an actual URL or even an address where this is located, a domain name, right? If you do that, then your backend is supposed to make that request on behalf of the client. And we know about these kind of attack that can happen as a result of exposing such functionality to the client by submitting URLs like server-side request forgery. I talked about it right here if you want to learn more about it. But it's nasty because, yeah, you intended for the client to query authentication services, but how do you know they are authentication services? The client, which is that attacker, can send you a request to query 127.0.0.1/admin going to your loopback admin interface where you're maintaining your web server, or your proxy or anything like that, because most critical infrastructure that we listen and have administration web interfaces listens to the loopback. It never listens to any other interfaces. It never exposes itself to the public, right? So when you listen to that, it's you can only access it really from the same machine. It just listens to the same machine, right? Because it's a loopback, right? But if I sent you, if you expose this functionality and that you give me a URL, I can just pass in, hey, go to 127.0.0.1/admin. And that's bad, right? So we built in this knowledge as we grew mature, security aware, in the back and said, okay, hey, is this URL 127.0.0.1? Sorry, you can't make that request. You're not allowed to query internal resources. Only public stuff. So the attacker would say, share, because the attacker is in Boston. Say, share, all right? And the attacker will say, okay, all right. You won't let me query local resources? I'm going to send you another URL. I'm going to send you 0177.0.0.1. Hey, please send request to that. So your parser, your Python parser using the IP address package or the Node.js netmask is going to look at that, is going to try to parse it, and the parser, here's the bug. What the parser does is actually says, okay, 0177.0.0.1. Well, I'm going to strip the zero on the left. That is what it does. It is not what the IETF RFC says. If there's a zero on the left, you should parse it as an octal, which converts into 127.0.0.1. But no. What they did, Node.js, they actually stripped the zero, which converts that IP address to what? 177.0.0.1. Now, you as the programmer on the back end says, hey, this guy's name is innocent. This guy just want to connect to 177.0.0.1. Sounds legit. Let him pass. So they pass in, and eventually that string of 0770177 will eventually funnel into many components and go down to the low level, which you call in the fetch request or your request library in Python. And at that point, it will be validated correctly based on the standard. And that will yield the actual intention behind the attacker, which is hitting your 127.0.0.1, going to your admin interface, essentially attacking you, brute forcing the admin, or if you don't have an admin password, that's even worse than just fetching all the nasty information that he can get his hand or her hand on. Nasty stuff, ain't it? Nasty. So they can bypass this and attack and execute a server-side request forgery, which I talked about many times on this channel. This one is one of the nastiest. Why? Because we have multiple representation of the same thing. So as a result, you lead into this old nasty stuff. Some parsers will strip zero, some parsers will evaluate incorrectly, and you lead to inconsistent result, which lead to security. We've seen the same exact thing here. So let's credit the researchers here. Today, security researchers, Victor Vial, Sick Codes, Nick Sahler, Kelly Kodos, and John Jackson. Sorry, I butchered your names, guys. Very thick Arabic accent, my friends. The vulnerability tracked as CVE 2021-28918 and more recently as CVE 2021-29418 concerns how Nitmask handles mixed format IP addresses. So it's when it comes to mixed formats. So even the first byte can have an octal and the second byte can be a decimal. Why are we even allowing such nastiness? That's just, oh my God. Oh, sometimes we just complicate things. An IP address can be represented in variety of formats. Why? We shouldn't really just leave it as integers. IP address should never be presented in multiple formats, right? Again, guys, this must have an history 100% there is a history behind it. There is a use case behind it. Those guys don't do anything without actual representation. Like, I can do it as a binary, right? Why not? You can do it as a binary as well. That's another format, right? But yeah, regardless, anything that yields to different semantics, illustrated into different semantics by two different components, which is the same thing essentially, yields to security problems, which is what we saw here. Another example I can think of is HTTP smuggling, and the way proxies and backends parses HTTP 1.1 request. That's obviously has been fixed, but for the longest time, you can essentially send multiple content length headers on the HTTP request. And that header is used to tell the server the length of this request. It says, hey, this is a 20 byte request. This is a 30 byte request, and so on. This is obviously an HTTP 1.1 because we use this as a mechanism to determine the start and the end of the request, because we use almost like a string parsing. Yeah. This was being solved in HTTP 2 by using actual headers. We know the end of the and the beginning of streams, and how do they where a stream starts, where the stream ends, right? Where a request in a stream, right? And moreover, usually you can't send multiple requests in the same stream concurrently. You have to wait for the response to come back. So we kind of trust these content length headers in HTTP 2 better. But the problem with HTTP 1.1, and if you have a proxy and you got two content length, how do you know which one is the correct one? So the proxy is just pick one. Exactly, pick one. So the proxy will pick the first one. Node.js on the backend or Python on the backend could pick the second one, leading to inconsistent results. And as a result, the attacker could craft a malicious HTTP request that posts to an internal URL internally, while a whole request will be treated in the proxy as an entire request. But when it receives at the backend, it will be segmented into two legitimate requests. The second one is the essentially the a query to go to an internal loopback interface, right, hitting some internal application. And just that, like that, you bypassed any proxy validations. HTTP smuggling is one of the nastiest, and people are winning insane amount of money with HTTP, finding HTTP smuggling bugs. And so those guys, the security researchers, have found this bug and ran with it. Like, they've just been testing Python, NPM packages, and now they just yesterday, May 1st, they released another bug in Python, finding a critical IP address validation in Python. So both Python and Node, and I believe in the future, more will come to fruition, and they will gonna find more and more vulnerabilities. Guys, what do you think about this? To me, if it was me, I would just block, not strip this zero, right? And I believe when you read through this article, I'm gonna reference it below. At one point, the author of the Python IP address validation, they weren't stripping it, they were blocking. They said, hey, if you have a zero in the beginning, don't do that. Don't add a zero. There is no meaning of adding a zero and if they're often a number. It doesn't mean anything. So they were blocking these requests. And for some reason, they relaxed that by stripping it. I don't know the additional details, but there's always a reason of anything happening. There's no dump like this. Let's not call people dumb for doing them, because you don't know the whole story. There is always a reason, and almost always there is a good reason behind any change, right? So the authors of the library, they stripped the zero for a reason. The reason probably is forgotten, right? But yeah, what do you guys think? To me, if I were building this, I would block. I would just hard error. I would not attempt even. Or either hard error or actually doing the proper validation based on the RFC. If I can do that proper validation based on the RFC, which is the IATF original specification, I will just error, says, hey, sorry, I don't support Octal. I know, I see you're passing a zero on the front of this. I see you, you might mean to Octal your IP address, but sorry, I don't support Octal because I just don't want to. If you don't tell me that, that's a beautiful way. I love errors. I love explicit, nice errors that tells you, hey, we don't do this because of this. Just, hey, sometimes it's just easier, better to explicitly error instead of silently swallowing errors and fixing things for the client. A lot of people disagree with me on that one, and that's fine, because at the end of the day, there's use cases for both. I even put a poll the other day. It's like, would you rather throw an error or silently swallow the error, right? And return success to the user if you can fix it. And there was like almost 50-50. So I don't think there is an answer to that, but just at the end of the day, it's a personal choice. All right, guys, that was for me today. I'm going to see you on the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.